If you're a literature major, or if you've studied art of any kind, you notice that there was this argument about there are only 7 books really written in the world, and they just keep getting rewritten in different ways. And one of the great narratives is the narrative of recovered identity. That happens all the time. I see it in a lot of great stories, a lot of great narratives, plays, and it's always this story about someone who has forgotten who they are, and somehow they recover their true identity. And the only solution, the climax of the story, comes when they remember their true destiny and they remember their true calling. You see this from Lion King, Kung Fu Panda, you see it in the Bible, you see it in Shakespeare, right? You know, Shakespeare's thoughts, Hamlet starts off with that there's something rotten in Denmark, because you see, people are not living out the roles that they should be. Everything is turned upside down. And really, the play only resolves until everything gets returned to its rightful order. And you see this constantly over and over again. Whenever you read Shakespeare and you see someone is doing something he's not supposed to, red flag, someone's going to die pretty soon. Usually that's what happens, right? You often see the jester, who is supposed to be the foolish one of the play, he becomes the wisest one. The world is turned upside down. And it's only until people realize that they are the true Lion King, that they're the true chosen warrior, or the Kung Fu Panda or whatever, or you're the one who's going to save the world, that's when things get on the right track. And so just coming back to this whole theme of renewal that I've been talking about for this month, what I want to talk about today is renewing our sense of identity and calling, renewing our calling in Christ. And that is kind of the challenge that I'm putting before all of us and myself, is to not just renew our calling, but to also excel in it this year. And often along the way, when we feel like we've had a vision from God, we feel a calling from God, we get very excited, but somewhere along the way, we get sidetracked. And to talk about someone who got sidetracked, I want to bring our attention to Moses. I don't know if some of you know the story of Moses, but Moses was someone who was born in a time of great difficulty. There was basically infanticide happening. Pharaoh had gone crazy. He wanted to kill all the firstborns, and Moses' mother very wisely hid her child and sent it down the river and got picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And so he grew up in the luxury of Pharaoh's household. But even though he grew up that, he knew his identity was not with Pharaoh. You see, he knew that his heart, his passion was to free the Hebrew people. His passion was to see the Hebrew people freed from slavery. And you saw that passion happen once when someone was abusing Hebrew slaves. We read that Moses actually took the law into his own hands and actually killed that man. And he hid the body. Now, clearly, this was not the right thing to do, because the next day, he tried to break up a fight between Hebrews, thinking he's all self-righteous. Look, I'm the advocate to set people free. And then people turned around and says, "Who are you? You know, aren't you the guy who killed someone? Are you going to kill us too?" And that's when Moses got scared. And that's when Moses got off track. Rather than kind of learning from his mistakes, he chose to run. And we read that he ran into the desert, and he got married there. You know, he met the nice lady out there, and you know, he took up a new vocation. He used to be Pharaoh's grandson, but now he's tending sheep. And I was wondering, you know, just for some of us today, perhaps, you know, there was a time where you felt very clearly what you felt God had convicted you to do with your life. You felt very clearly God had called you, and you felt in your heart that you were created with certain desires, certain passions, a certain personality, and you wanted to use this this history. You wanted to use these passions, these desires for God. But perhaps something along the way really discouraged you and made you want to run into the wilderness. And now you're tending sheep. You're not doing anything close to what you were made to be. Now you're kind of living this life that's hiding away, and we read, you know, it doesn't say exactly how long he was there, but we read that it was a long time that he was out there. And for some of us maybe here, we don't actually know what God's calling is for us. And what I want to talk about today is that, you know, calling is not about an occupation. You are not called to a certain job occupation with a certain employer. You see, I want you to think bigger about calling as that it's not just an occupation, but it's identity. You know, I remember talking to someone once, and, you know, he's a very outgoing personality. He loves people. He loves interacting with people. He likes, you know, talking and, like, serving others. And he was in this job that basically put him in a cubicle all day, and he had to just do, like, research all the time. And so he never really encountered folks. He just kind of came to work in his office, didn't really, you know, there were people, and they're all just in their little cubes and isolated. And, you know, he was really, he wasn't happy. And it's not a surprise because he was really working against, like, who God had created him to be. And, you know, many of us, maybe for whatever reason, we kind of have jumped into certain occupations that are not consistent with our calling. You know, Moses, he thought that, you know, you could see from a young age that he was a man of passion, you know, and clearly at a young age he was passionate in the wrong way and went to violence. But you could see the passion is that he had a heart for justice. He had a heart to set people free. And how did he get back on track? It was only until God confronted him at the burning bush, tried to get his attention. God went out to the wilderness to find him and had this burning bush. And at this moment, you know, Moses is so far gone into his kind of shepherd, you know, domestic 2.5 kids and a yard full of sheep kind of life. It only took this divine encounter with God where he kind of woke up and heard God saying, "Look, I've heard the cries of my people. I want you to go and set them free. I want you to set them free because this is what you were made to do. This is your personality. This is who you are. But I want you to do it not on your terms, but on God's terms." And so I want to challenge us today to kind of get back on track, you know, to complete the movie. Let's not end the movie by, like, you know, the movie ends with, like, the guy out in the wilderness and he's totally forgotten himself, you know. Simba refuses to be king, you know, that kind of thing where it's like a person has refused to take up their destiny. Let's finish the story and get back on track. And so what I want to do today is to kind of pose three questions for you. And, you know, I have a little sermon insert. You can write down stuff. But I want to kind of use these as questions that you can use for reflection, okay? And it's only going to help you, you know, if you're honest with it. Maybe if you want to do it at home over an extended time, like a quiet time, or just a time of spiritual reflection at home, or if you want to even do it here as I'm talking, that's fine. But I'm going to ask you three questions. And now, when I talk about calling, as I said before, it's occupation, not identity. Right? I mean, it's not occupation, it's identity. So here's the first question I want to ask everyone. What has God called me to? I remember when I was a college pastor for a number of years, I get this question asked to me all the time. It's like, "Oh, what does God call me to?" You know, and we talk about calling as something that's very mysterious. You know, it's something that will come for only really religious people, only very spiritual people. And it's usually this kind of thing that happens in a dream, or, you know, you drop the Bible and it opens to this verse and it says, "Be an engineer somehow." You know, something in there like that. Let me tell you that it's not quite so miraculous because, you see, calling did not start when you started getting religious, okay? It did not start when you started thinking about Christ. Calling started, really, before you were born. You see, God, we read that, you know, even before the womb, God knew us. You know, he has wonderful plans for us. He has a wonderful design for our life. And so, you know, he's given us a certain temperament, a certain personality, a certain circumstance. And, you know, I remember growing up really struggling with this thing is that I really had a heart to serve in ministry, but then I had this heart to really express myself through music and, you know, reach people through music beyond the church. And often I'd talk to my mentors and say, like, "I don't know. I feel like I need to choose between the two." And people, my mentors would ask me, well, why do you feel you have to choose between the two? And he says, well, you know, no one does that. They usually just have like one job kind of thing. And I was like, well, you know, your template is not comparing yourself to others. It's really, how has God created you? What passions, what desires? Think about your history. How did you grow up? Like, what about those formational kind of crisis moments that really formed and shaped you? Those aren't for waste. You know, that's not like wasted time. God uses your history and your past to form and create something beautiful. And all of that is working to this greater calling that we have, that God would use our personality, he would use our past, he would use our passion and our desires. I really recoil against, you know, some testimonies where people say, you know, God called me to this, even though my personality is nothing like this, and I totally hate this, and, you know, every day I wake up just dreading this, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And everyone looks, wow, that guy is so pious because he looks so unhappy, but he's still serving God. And I'm thinking, I don't think God, why would God create you in that way? And then just as a cruel joke, kind of call you to do this thing that you completely despise. Now, there have been times where God calls me to something, like public speaking, and I'm thinking, okay, God, there's no way I'm going to enjoy this, but I realize I really enjoy teaching, you know, and God just pushed me a bit, and he says, you know what, trust me, I think I know you a little more than you know yourself. You're going to find a real new world of joy if you obey me in this. So sometimes I think he does call us beyond our temperament, but I'm not impressed by people who try and be very pious and honorable by saying, like, you know, I'm doing this because God made me do it. And they're just like, ugh. Because you see, I don't think God calls like that. And so I think one of the questions you want to ask ourselves, you know, just very clearly is like, what do you feel that God has called you to? And, you know, again, it's not occupation, but what is it in your heart? Do you have a heart to give hope to people? Do you have a heart to see people reconcile to each other? Do you have a heart to see people's needs satisfied? Do you have a heart to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves? Do you have a heart to, you know, display the greatness of God through beautiful things? You know, all of us have something in us. What is your calling? And you can see what your calling is as you, a wonderful kind of litmus test for me is I always read through Matthew chapter 5 and 6. And I kind of compare the values that are in Matthew 5, 6, and that's the Beatitudes, blessed are, you know, blessed are, blessed are. And just looking at that value system, does my calling system go alongside that value system? And if it does, then I need to take very seriously, like, I think this may be something that God wants me to explore further. So that's the first question. Now, the second question is, how faithful am I in maintaining and keeping that calling? Now, this is where it gets messy, okay? I just talked about the dreamer part. You know, a lot of us love to dream, right? But some of us are so kind of wrapped up in the practicals. This is what really short-circuits calling. You know what? I love to do this. This is who I feel like I'm created to be. You know, remember, calling is identity, right? Not occupation. I feel like this is who I am. But then something clicks in somewhere that starts thinking in world terms. Well, that doesn't make money, does it? Well, that's not very practical. Well, that's very embarrassing for an Asian person to do, you know? I don't know if you grew up in this way, but like in the Korean community, you know, parents love to do this. They said, okay, let me get this straight. I just poured out all this blood, sweat, and tears for you to grow up in this country with a wonderful education, and now you're going to be a poet. How dare you, you know? You know, you owe me. I want to see, you know, PhD. That's the only way you pay me back. You know, I don't know if you had that kind of upbringing. Or it might just be kind of embarrassment. You kind of run with a pack, and then, you know, you look around you. Everyone is kind of dressing a certain way. They have a certain amount of income. And then what are you doing? Oh, okay, so why aren't you paid like us? Why don't you talk like us? Why don't you, like, drive a car like us? Why don't you do these things like us? And it's at these moments where, you know, you might want to run into the desert and, like, join the rest of the shepherds out there, right? Just like Moses. And so what I want us to do is, you know, in your own heart right now, take inventory. of your life. You know, think about question one. What has God called me to according to my temperament, personality, and circumstances? What gives you like that passion for God? What excites your life? What breathes life into you, you know, when you're doing it for God? Now, the second thing is, you know, passion doesn't just keep sustaining itself forever. You have to invest in it. Are you developing the gifts needed for this calling? Are you investing the time that is required to refine and build this passion? You see, Moses had the passion as a young man, but, you know, clearly, as a young and experienced person, he didn't know how to express that passion properly. And, you know, it's really weird. He had a heart for justice, to set people free. But he didn't know how to do it, and it came out as violence. And you see, what Moses needed to do was to learn from his failure and to develop that passion. But rather than doing that, he ran away. And so, how faithful are we in maintaining and refining that calling? Are we investing in this calling by spending time, energy, and prayer into it? You know, one thing that I realize in my calling is that, you know, just because I become a pastor doesn't mean I have arrived and I stay. I need to continually, like, pray into it. I need to continue to pray, like, God, keep refining me, keep growing me, keep, you know, I just keep investing into this calling. And with music as well, you know, there are times like, well, no one listens to this. I mean, I talk to Rhea about this all the time. Like, you know, who really cares? I mean, I can play pretty well. You know, I can play some chords. But I know in my heart, to be faithful to what God has given me, I need to keep refining it. I need to keep investing in it as an act of faith and of worship. You know, some of you have these passions and these callings that God wants to use, but you don't breathe life into it anymore, and it just keeps fading and fading away. And, you know, I want to just challenge you for 2012 to breathe back life into it. You know, many of you in this church, I feel, have been very gifted in hospitality. And maybe you've been doing it for many years, and you're thinking, well, you know, I've done it a long time. I don't need to do it anymore. But, you know, that's something where God's grace really shines through in your life. You know, how have you been investing in that gift and really just bring it to the forefront of your life, making it a priority in your life? You know, some of you have been really gifted with service. You know, and you're thinking, well, I did my time. I'm done now, okay? But the thing is, because you've been created with that calling, that is where you get your real true joy is. Maybe you haven't been really happy with your life because you haven't been moving in your passion and your joy. You know, because your passion or joy has now just become a burden, but you don't realize that, you know, when you move in that, your life gets revitalized. This is not just, you know, it's not like God needs more, like, hospitality. It's not like he needs more cash. He doesn't need more, like, service. Like, God can do anything. But why does he encourage you and call you to do that? Because he says, I want you to take part in that because that's where your joy is. That's how I made you. You're going to enjoy this. You know, so many pastors, like, when we call them to help out or something, it's like pulling teeth, you know. But a different way that, you know, as a pastor, I want to kind of encourage you to plug in with your gifts and your passions at church is because that is where your joy is. You know, why has your Christian life kind of feel like it? Why does it feel like it's shriveling up? It's because you're not moving in your calling and your identity. So how faithful have you been lately in maintaining and keeping and investing in that calling? And so the third question is kind of the inventory question I was talking about earlier. In what ways have my priorities and plans been consistent with the calling that God has given me? Now, I guess another way of kind of calling this is like a fruit test. And what I mean by that is look at the fruits of your life, okay? What has been the output of your life? Look at what has been occupying your time. What have you been expending your resources, like what your money? What are the things that you have been doing in your life? Even think about this week. Take inventory of what you've invested into this month. What did you spend your money on? What did you spend your time on? How much of that was consistent with who God called you to be? Okay, and I mean, you know, I'm not going to check up on this. I'm not grading you. There's no report card, obviously. But, you know, for yourself, just be honest. Think about your bank accounts. Everyone's like, hey, don't talk about that in a sermon. You know, I don't need to know the amounts, but just think about, like, well, what did you spend your money on this month? How did those expenditures that you acquired remain consistent with your calling as a person of God? Okay? Now think about, you know, and I encourage you to, like, sit down, like, be very intentional about this. Because, you know, if you just kind of, like, I guess it was okay. Moving on. Next question. You know, you kind of have to probe a little deeply. It's amazing if we're kind of really honest with ourselves, if we think of very practical things. So I'm just trying to give you some very practical steps. Here's another one. Try and chart out what you did this week or even this month. And kind of, some of you are very good at kind of scientific kind of diagrams and stuff. Maybe even chart out. I don't know. Chart out what you feel is like time expended for what you feel you've been called to do. Okay? And again, I'm not here to make you feel guilty or feel bad, but just to kind of get a sense. It's like, what have you been investing in, you know, lately? Because many of us kind of have this sort of thing about, well, you know, yeah, I know my calling is very important, and once I have time, I'll get to work on it. But usually, whenever I hear the word, once I have time, it'll never happen because you never have time, right? It's more like what happens is you need to say, this is a priority for my time, and let things come around it. You know, it's a battle. I want to really encourage you to just let you know that if you struggle with this, that's good, because it is a battle. But let me tell you is that once you start to think about doing your life not out of your obligations, not out of your duties or your occupation, but doing it out of your identity, your priorities change radically. Your worldview changes radically. What if I began to make future decisions about my career, about my family, not based on all those practicals, you know, the what ifs, like the money, the income and such, but more about who I am in Christ, what he's called me to be? How different our life trajectory would look. You know, I used to be an associate pastor in a very affluent neighborhood, and I won't mention, but a very affluent neighborhood, and it was just startling to me how many people were so comfortable materially, but so unhappy inside. You know, people earning like six figures, like a lot of them, just doing very well, very impressive education, very impressive jobs, very impressive titles, but just deeply unsatisfied with their life. And why was that? It's because somehow they got caught up in the current of like, this is what I guess I should be doing, but they didn't let their life be dictated by what their calling was, what their identity was. And so now they've gone so far down this stream of like what the world's standards are, they really just don't know how to get off anymore. But there's hope. You know, 2012 can be the year that we begin to take ownership of what we're investing in, what we're spending our time and money on, and begin to say, God, I lift this all up to you. I meet you out here in the wilderness. I ask for that burning bush experience where you set me back on track. God, here I am. I am ready now to be sent in the calling that you've given to me. And you know, that's really my heart's desire. That's what I love to see. You know, when people are bold enough to take the faith, to take the risk, to be who God has called them to be. Because nothing can replace that. There is no greater treasure than living a full life in who God has called you to be. To look at your life and not look back with regret and saying like, wow, this is what God has made me to be and I'm doing it. There is no greater satisfaction. This is the life that God has called us to the fullest. And you know, the lie of the world is that you will find fullness when you get all of those things taken care of like, you know, money, finance, comfort. But, you know, the big lie of it is at the end of it, it is completely unsatisfying. Because you can have all of that. You can have the whole world. But what good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? As Jesus says. And so I encourage you, you know, this week, in the way that you see best, take inventory of your life. You know, go through your life and ask yourself, like, what has this day been doing? Like, what did I do with this day? How have I seized it for my identity in Christ? Or have I kind of passively let it go? And so those are the three questions I want to pose to us. And you know, you don't do me any favors by kind of just giving, like, pat answers. Answer it honestly. Answer it truthfully. And for some of us, it might be encouraging and reassuring. Some of us might get discouraged, but don't be discouraged. Just take this as a mid-course correction. Okay, maybe I guess I have been a little off track. I guess I have been out in the wilderness. But, you know, God is gracious. God is so gracious. You know, he redeems time. He redeems those who get sidetracked. I get sidetracked all the time. Praise God that God doesn't resent me for being sidetracked. He just loves to just bring me back on track. And that's what God wants to do with a lot of us here. Many of us have run the race for a long time, but somewhere along the way, we just got sidetracked. I'm just asking you to get back on track. Some of us maybe don't know what the track is, but you know what? God has given you plenty of information to decide what that might be. Live for his kingdom. Live for the identity that you have in his kingdom, not for the identity that a world wants to kind of force upon you. Ask yourself, what has God called me to? One. Two, how faithful am I in maintaining and keeping that calling? And three, in what ways have my priorities and plans been consistent with the calling that God has given me? And before I end today, I just wanted to throw out a little remember, a little caveat. I couldn't eloquently fit into a fourth point or something, so I'm just going to throw in a bonus point. You know, it's for free. Okay? Times are tough in the economy, so this is for free. All right. I wanted just to let you know something else. You know, a calling, I love preaching about calling and stuff, but you have to remember something else. A calling can become an idol if you're not careful. And what do I mean by this? Sometimes in this world, it is so wrapped up in being purpose-driven, you know, the purpose-driven life, purpose this, purpose that. We get so wrapped up in what our calling is that it becomes like this golden calf. It becomes this idol in our life. And even if we are called to something, remember that if we're not careful, that can quickly get corrupted. If you're called to do it, never forget the centrality of the one who called you to do it. Whenever you're called to something, never forget the one who calls you. How often have we kind of gone in a calling that is good and from God, but then we forgot the one who calls us? You know, how often have I seen pastors who have been called to ministry, but have actually forgotten the God who called them? You know, here's some examples just to show you what I'm talking about. You know, you can be called to your family. Maybe you have a calling to your family to bring about wholeness and love. But there is a way in which the attention and time that you spend on your family can actually take you away from the priorities of the kingdom of God. You know, one of my professors, he said something I think that kind of unsettled the students in the room, but really made me think. He says one of the greatest idolatries that we have right now in modern America is the family. And I was like, what? That's crazy. You know, God loves family. He wants restoration of family. But there is a way to invest so much in a family that we become so self-absorbed in just maintaining, like, our own kind of nuclear families, that we don't realize that God has called us and adopted us, even though we weren't in God's family. He's calling us to people who are not of our own, calling us beyond the walls of our homes. There is, and again, see, it starts from a very honorable calling, but if we're not careful with this calling, it can be quickly corrupted if we lose sight of the one who calls us. And the reverse is true, too. You can be called to ministry. How many pastors have I talked to who have children who are profoundly broken because they've been neglected by their parents? Why? Because their parents have been just going all out in the name of ministry. They've been like been a father to like hundreds of people in the church, but they have not been fathers to their own children. You know, again, it was a wonderful calling, but something got corrupted along the way. Maybe God has called you to great places of leadership and government. Maybe you are in the right place, but don't forget the one who calls you. Because we live in a world that is anti-God, literally anti-Christ. We live in a world that does not share the priorities of the kingdom. And very quickly, if we start running in our calling according to the game plan of the world, we will forget the one who called us in the first place. Sometimes we can be so obsessed, God, what are you calling me to? This is what God has called me to. And that we forget that God does not look at us with titles. He doesn't look at us as a calling. He looks at us as just children. And so that's just the caveat I want to say as we renew our callings. Let us not get so obsessed with it to find out what am I called to do that we have forgotten our identity in the one who calls us. And so for 2012, let us renew many things. You know, let us renew our life in the Spirit. Let us renew our dedication to display the fruits of the Spirit. But also let us renew our calling and our purpose. God has given us a calling. Let us be faithful. Amen.